Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I'd like to think a little bit tonight about having victory in conflicts. Do you ever have conflicts? Have you ever had a conflict? And notice that most of the battles that I have, if I win the battle of my mind, I won the battle. I can handle, or it takes off the edge even of physical pain if you've won the battle in your mind. If you win, Jesus, I believe, I could say this of Jesus himself, he had the mental anguish. The battle was the mental anguish of the cross. You know, he won the victory before he went to the cross. He went to the cross, but he had a battle to do it, because his fleshly man of him, the man part of him, was wanting to draw back from the obvious pain and humiliation and the bad part of it. But he had to battle the thoughts that he had towards it to win it. But he won it before he ever went to the cross, because he got the victory of his mind. The Lord, the angels, but he won the victory. Not my will, but thy will be done. What do you hope to gain? Maybe you haven't thought about it, but you should. What is your goal in conflict? Do you set a goal in your conflicts? What do you want to come out of this situation? Well, I'm in a conflict with a brother, and I want him to know how right I am and how wrong he is. Well, you can chuckle, but that seems to be the predominant view. I need to come out on top of this somehow and stress my views of it to the point that I get my way in the matter. I thank the Lord that we get along, but there's been conflicts. People have struggles and conflicts with things, and you know, we ought to set a goal in conflicts. The brother sang about it. We sang about it just now, what the goal ought to be in the conflict. More like you, Christ. Lord, more like the Lord in the conflict. I've got to go through this, and we ought to set in that is in this conflict, is Lord, how spiritual can I be in this? How much can you help me to be like you would be in the conflict? That ought to be the way we look at the conflicts that happens, because, to be honest with you, we're going to have conflicts. And most of the time in the middle of the conflict, we can call for arbitration. But it's a sad thing if we need arbitration. It really is sad if we have to get to the place that we do that. Bible makes places for that, for people, because people are people. But I'd like for us to look at a little bit more in that tonight, because it saddens our heart for every church conflict we hear about. Marriage conflict, sibling conflict, family conflicts that we hear that's among us, it saddens us, because we know that there's something better than that. We know that there's something that we ought to be able to achieve in those kind of things. I don't assume to say that there isn't going to be conflict. But there's a way to deal with conflict. And I want to start with scripture in Galatians. Let me see. 14:5 of Galatians 14th verse. He says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this." You know, talk about conflicts, disagreements, property line disputes, barking dogs. My neighbor got upset me with my crowing rooster. conflicts. I mean, but he says, but here for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That takes on a certain quality on it, doesn't it? I can take the idea that my crow and rooster's on my property. And if she don't want to hear the rooster crow, she's not there anymore. But she wouldn't want to hear it. Why didn't she put some cotton in her ears? I can take that, but it doesn't fulfill this very well if I do. So he says on with that, he says, but if ye bite and devour one another, warning, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. I'm going to tell you, it may not be your fault, but if you stir in it long enough, you can escalate it till you get destroyed too. That's not the answer in it. We pulled into Walmart yesterday. Leah was driving. We pulled into Walmart. We get right up next to the front, and there was a couple walking, young man and a woman walking, and they obviously didn't hear us, and they were on the right side of the lane. I thought they was going into that side of the Walmart, and so she was kind of easing along. She wasn't going to fake, just easing along, and then they started veering out into the road to the point that she had to kind of really slow down, and then all of a sudden he turns around and sees the van fairly close, but listen, it was nothing. But he sees the van, and he jerks her real quick, and then it startled her, and she jumped in all this, and then it made him mad, and then he got really mad, and he was like, it reminded me of a dog. Draws his eyes in, and he done it, and he couldn't let loose of it. He was boiling like that, and I told the family, I said, I don't know if I want to go into the Walmart now or not. He was growling. You know what I could have done? I could have stuck my head out the window and say, you want to growl, I'll growl back. But the more I growl, the more he growls. And you better be careful, because if you do, you're going to start biting one another. And you're going to start consuming one another. That's what he's talking about in this scripture. Because we run into conflicts, and you say something, I say something back, then you're going to say something more hurtful, and I'll say something more hurtful. Then I'll spite your children, you spite mine. And then I'll do something, and you do something. And then I'll do what I can to spread stuff, and you spread stuff. And before long, we're all consumed. Lord help us. That's not the way to handle it. But he gives some really, really sound advice. Not only sound, it's not sound advice, it's God advice. He wants to tell us what to do when this happens. There needn't be these kind of places in our lives. Because there's a way of dealing with it around our lives. I can expect that you are human and you will make human mistakes. And what I ought to have in my heart and mind about it, ought to have in my heart and mind, is that I love you enough to try to help you and you help me. Amen. Would you all please have mercy on me for being me? I've never been able to help being me. It just seems like every time I'm me in things. So there's the things, if it rubs you wrong about me, it's just me. And it'll be you, and sometimes it's personality, and I'm a fast goer, and you're a slow goer, and I say come on, and you say slow down. And we're in conflicts over those kind of things sometimes. We talk about it all the time. My wife will see this cute little house, 1,500 square feet stuff. And she'll say, oh, that's so cute. We can live in that. We love that. I'm saying, 1,500 feet for this crew? I'm saying, I see these big old 4,000, 5,000 square foot homes and stuff. And I say, hey, right there's one. And my wife's saying, I ain't cleaning that thing. We ain't living. And I'm saying, well, we don't have a chance to get anything like that, anything. But it's all in this. And she's saying, little and cozy, and everybody's together. And I say, give me some space. Let me off in the room. I want a living room as big as this chapel, with a big fireplace back there and stuff here, and stuff where you throw stuff across the room at one another. She wants something to where you're all tight and snuggled up. It's different in as we get along. But those differences, and you got to deal with those differences. But listen to the scripture. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Listen, for everything you do in the flesh, in the carnal, you're helping destroy yourself. Supposing this, you're going to have to run through a fire, okay? You got to run through a fire. But you're the one that gets to build it, okay? Now, are you going to stack up a big old bonfire and get, because I'm going to tell you, when you start the carnality, you're building a fire to get into. But because where there's no pride, I mean, it's the fuel for contention. Having to fight back is the fuel for it. You take away the wood from the fire goes out. You take pride out of contention, the fire goes out. You're burning yourself up. Can I'll speak to the married people just for a minute. Husbands, if you don't want her that way, don't make her that way. Yeah. Wives, stir him up. Hey, I don't have to live with him. You do. You can stir your wife up, but you're the one there. And then he says this, because of it. This I say then, because if you do it that way, you won't be happy. Are you happy at that kind of a place? You won't be satisfied. You won't sleep well. You'll have that hatred feeling in your heart, in your soul. Then I'll say this, he says. Because of that, then I'll say this. Walk in the Spirit. I'm going to tell you, folks, listen. What? Simple? But what advice? Walk in the Spirit. What is walking in the Spirit? It means that I'm putting the spirituality to it. I'm not only claiming spirituality, but I'm walking in spirituality. I'm walking with the mind of Christ. I'm going to approach this conflict in the mind of Christ. I'm going to walk in the Spirit instead of in the flesh. I could have growled at the guy too, but it's not good to growl back. You're going to have a fight then. Well, no, what's better to do is walk into in the Spirit. He gets mad that then I walked in. I was a little apprehensive, to be honest with you. He was growling and snarling. But I walk in there, and Leah, she went to the other side of the store, so she didn't run. I went over there and ran in, and I noticed that he noticed me, and I'm going about my business, and he sees who we are and stuff, and I could tell he was staying away from me. Boy, I wasn't growling at him. I wasn't growling. I was walking in Spirit. He was growling. And I was winning. I was winning. It was calming him. It calmed him down. Walk in the Spirit in the conflicts of life. See the greater purpose. You and I are knit together. We're to be knit together. We're the saints of God. We're to be knit together. We're to help one another. We're to inspire one another. Not to get inflamed at one another. Walk in the Spirit. You may say something that's a little, maybe you're having a bad day. Maybe something, you say it quick. All that. You say it quick, I'll say it back. And you say it, I'll say it. How about walking in the Spirit? This is what the apostle is saying. I'll say then, if you want victory in your life, lay it down, folks. Listen, lay the carnality down. Lay this world down. Lay yourself down. Pick up Christ. Put the mantle on, if you will. Walk in the Lord. And you know what you won't be guilty of? Fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So he says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because that's what it's wanting to do. Now, I want to look at a few scriptures and a few stories here, and notice the Lord trying to get His people. I think the Lord is still trying to get His people to walk in the Spirit. See, we're spiritual people. We come to church. We have a spiritual life. We believe certain things. We carry out certain aspects in our life. We dress modestly. We do certain things. We don't go certain things. That's living in the Spirit. But you can live in the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit. Because you can have spiritual things in your life, but walking in the Spirit means that you bring it forefront and have it right there in the times of your life. It is on hand all the time. You're walking in the Spirit. Thinking about those things in a spiritual terms that God is working. God's got a reason. God's got a way. God can make bad good things out of bad things. God can make people knit together through conflict. You believe that? There's been time. I want to tell you what happened to me in grade school. There was this silly little game that they played. I remember when it happened, and I thought it was funny. Probably a little child, and it was. Did you get the letter I sent you? No, I didn't get the letter. Well, I must have forgot to stamp it. And you stamp their foot. Why, it's a little child thing. I must have forgot to stamp it. Well, somebody come and done it to me. And well, I thought it was funny. It might have hurt, but I thought it was funny. So I'm this other kid. I come up, hey, did you get the letter? He said, no. Well, I must have forgot to stamp it. And he got mad. And we got into a fisticuff over it. So we're fighting on the playground over it. Well, you know that become my best friend? Because after we had that, we both had, well, you know, come on, sorry about that. And we become, that conflict actually made us into best friends. We didn't know one well after that, but after that we did through that conflict. I'll say this, there is conflicts that happens, and I'm not saying you have to get into a fisticuff to get to that kind of point, but sometimes conflicts that happen, and God's got a way of changing that. But He says to us, walk in the Spirit. So let's take that walk in the Spirit. All right, I want to look at a scripture in Luke. We're talking about things that are common to man, and we're never going to get away from them. In Luke 12, 13, it says, one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Has there ever been any major conflicts over inheritance sharing? You think anybody ever got into a squabble over inheritances? I'd be willing to say that everybody in here is old enough to know anything is sitting here right now saying, I can tell you a whole bunch. I know them well. I do. I know them. Inheritance time. And here they go. Well, Jesus has a different mindset than what people generally do. So one come to him and looking to him from his point of view, he totally right and can prove it. Do you know that being right don't make you righteous? Being right about a fact doesn't mean that it's the right thing to pursue. You can have right on your side and act ugly about it. Or do things that shouldn't be done because you were thinking you're right. It didn't say to walk in right. He said walk because you're right. He said walk in the Spirit. You got somebody leading you in the Spirit now. I'm telling you, God is willing to lead us in the Spirit when we put our hearts and minds into God and say, Lord, lead me in this conflict to be the man I ought to be. To be the person I ought to be. To be able to make the difference in here. Help me to walk spiritually, to think spiritually, not get bitter, not have hatred in my heart, not to gain things from the flesh, but to help the kingdom grow through this. Help me to walk spiritually in this. Help me to come out on the other side loving them more and loving you more and having your approval on me. Well, help me to walk in the Spirit. Well, here's a conflict. And conflict's going to happen. I'm not saying that you have to say, well, I won't take any of the inheritance to get there. I'm just saying that there's a spiritual walk in it. I've already determined that. I told my dad when he was talking about it, I said, Dad, the Lord's blessed me. I said, Dad, give it to my brother. Give it to my brother. Well, he's had this and this and this and this, and this is what I want to do. And I say, Dad, I appreciate it. I appreciate it that you'd want it that way. I'm able to do that. But give it to my brother. But the Lord's blessed me. Give it to my brother. I wouldn't have no conflicts about it, that's for sure. And I ain't even assuming that there would be one. But I ain't got my heart set on that. I got something set higher than that. Well, you speak to my brother. Jesus said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, this is his answer. This is his answer. Wait a minute. What about, don't you want to hear the story? Don't you want to know? Well, I can tell you this. No, because this is the answer. Walk in the Spirit. I'm not about a divider of your inheritances for you, but I'll tell you the answer for you. Beware of covetousness. Recognize it. Realize it. Because I've seen people lose the precious things over little to nothing. Little to nothing. Something that they didn't work for, they didn't earn, they didn't have a right to anyway. Then to fall out over the little petty things of life. I know of one family that got into a ruckus over a picture. This picture. One of them said, Mom promised me that. But Mom ended up with the other one, of them, and they ended up in a picture, and it was a bad thing because it was a picture. I'm going to tell you, walk in the Spirit. And you know what was the crazy thing about the split up? You know what the picture was about? It was a picture of depicting Christ. It had a heart in his hand. It was depicting the love of God. So they fought over it until they broke fellowship over it. Something about the love of God. You would have thought that they would have looked at the picture and been inspired enough to say, I give it to you willingly. Yes. With my heart that it blew through, and if you'll just let me see it from time to time. Or I'll tell you what, let me hang it one week and you the next. But Lord help us. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Do we get that? Conflicts happen. I've told this many times. No doubt many of you have heard it. But my sister got saved. And she had this little Yugo car. And it was I used to call it a little pop can. It was one of the most ridiculous little cars they ever made. My opinion, it was really junk from new. It was bad. It was not a quality car. And she had one of them, and she'd be going along, and it would just quit on her. It would just quit. She'd go down the road, and she'd have to start it again. I mean, she'd happen to her a lot of time, right in traffic. And finally, she said, well, she needed a new car. Yeah, we went through this, and there was this deal they was having on this nice little Nissan. I remember it had a bumper-to-bumper 100,000-mile warranty and all this, and she ended up getting this car. Brand new car. She got and took it up to camp meeting, and brother backed into her. Just right after she got the car, some brother backed into her. Brand new car. She drove up there. He was apologizing. I mean, he was, I'm so sorry. And all this, around this car. But I was still, my sister would say, don't worry about it, it's just the car. Oh, I'm sorry, brand new car, I used the car. And she'd say, it don't matter, it's just the car. Just the car. It's just a car. You know, that car has probably been made into a car and mounted down and made into a car many times since that. It's been a long time ago. That car is long gone, and it was just a car. But you know that way people is if it's not careful, that can be a bitterness that happens for a long time. Jesus has a perfect answer for it. Paul said it very plainly. I got an answer for you. Walk into the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. It's just a car. It's on this earth. Your life doesn't consist of the abundance of the things you possess. So you have a car. Its car is going to come. Car is going to go. fingers get wrinkled. Things happen. They get scratched. Things happen. They get dirty. Things happen. That's all there is to it. It happens. So what? Walk in the Spirit. Because instead of being upset and angry, she was blessed because she was peaceful. It's just a car. It wasn't my soul. It wasn't my life. It was a car. It was a car. You ever know anybody gets upset about a car? I've known plenty. You get upset about a car. It's just a car. It's just a car. I like my stuff to get. I like my stuff to stay new and say. I wish I could get something to stay new. I used to think it would be nice if it was the natural things would work different. Instead of everything tending to chaos, you know, that's what our world does. It tends to chaos, not order. You can set something in order and it tends to chaos, right? Entropy, everything that is. I thought it'd be real nice if you could get some old wore out tires. You know, the tires wear out on this pavement, and so there's rubber off on these pavements. Wouldn't it be nice to get those just go get you some old tires and reverse entropy set in, and you can drive until they had good tread back on them. Now that'd be cool. Or instead of everything tending to chaos, a big tornado come through here and pick up all the trash and put it in the trash can. Instead of taking the trash cans and spilling them all over the community. And all the junk and stuff that you hear, boards and stuff, you'd build a nice big house over here on the corner. Reverse entropy, it'd be real nice. Doesn't happen that way, though. And everything's tending to chaos. And you know what? It's a chaotic world. And this is a lesson we're saying. Well, Jesus basically, in the spirit of the message tonight, he told this man, instead of worrying about and going to fight your brother over this, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Win your brother to Christ. Win your brother to God. Have something more valuable than the things of this world. You might outdo your brother. You might cheat him. You might outdo him. You might outsmart him. You may get the law to force it. You may do it, but you'll lose your brother. He gets angry and you get angrier. He claims you don't. This is mine and this is mine. And you get there. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Do you believe God's big enough to take care of the needs of your life? Then put it to action. If he don't send you that one that you think you're being beat out of, he'll send you from somewhere. God intended me to have it and he can't do it no other way. Well, yes, he can. He can do it a lot of different ways. I guess this is fine. The man's gone. But the timing of it was wonderful. But there was a brother up there in Pennsylvania. His name was Parker Slifer. Parker Slifer had been around. He'd come into camp meetings and come from around. And you wouldn't have thought the man, he wore the same old clothes. I say he wore that looked like the same old clothes all the time I ever knew him. He never changed. He never. He had an old 60-some model car for years. I don't know what happened to that, or early 70 model. He had it for years. He drove around. The old car, all this didn't have anything, and the man ended up dying. We got a letter in the mail. The letter said that we were the recipients of a share of the Parker Slifer estate. Well, we dismissed it because, you know, you can split a few bucks through the different ways, don't make much difference with anything. We got another letter in it saying that Parker Slifer had near $500,000. Well, he had $500,000, and they split it in a number of ways, and we ended up with 25% of $500,000 to the Church of God in Green Bank. So don't tell me God can't do something, because I know that he can. God can work in any kind of way he decides to do, and you can say, we got to fight for every penny, and God say, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Don't bring yourself down to that kind of a place. Don't walk in the flesh and fight for the flesh and for the carnalities that's so easy disposed by us. I can say this for every relationship. Husbands and wives ought to walk in the Spirit in the things of their life. And when I get till I ain't stepping so lively, maybe my wife can encourage me to step just a little livelier. And maybe that I can lift her up when her load's down. And maybe we can look at it that way instead of having a fleshly idea about it. Lord, help us. Another scripture we want to look at is found in John 21st chapter. And we'll read a little bit, 15th verse. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou wast old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. And he spake, signifying by the death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Now, we look at that passage, or at least I do. I look at that passage as a very intense spiritual moment of a man gaining eternal guidance. Or guidance from the eternal anyway. Guidance for what he was... How would you like to be spoken to that directly about what your calling is? The Lord, from the mouth of the Savior, right? Directly to your natural ears, you heard what he told you to do. I look at it as a very spiritual moment, a moment that he could hardly deny. Jesus went so far to back it up, give me this liberty, but he backed it up by saying to him, and don't be afraid to do it. Don't be afraid to do it with all gusto, because you were young, and you went where you wanted to, but when you're old, then you're going to be old, Peter. Peter, this is what's going to happen to you. Do it with all fervor, because I'm going to give you a prophecy here of your own life. Well, that's an inspiring thing too. I think I can lay down now, or I can say whatever, because the Lord has made a prophecy to me. And when I get old, I won't be able to do what I did. They're going to be able to. I'm going to be. I think the history says that he was crucified upside down. Possibly so. He gave his life for the gospel. But the Lord back then, what a spiritual moment. But here's Peter. Here's Peter. Then turning about, seeth this disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Peter, come on. You just had to mess it up. You just had to mess it up with that. Walk in the Spirit. And don't worry about what your brother's doing. Well, now if the Lord calls me to come down here and clean the trash, I don't know why he ain't calling you. Well, if I'm going to do that job, then what are you going to do? Do what the Lord told you to do. That's what you're supposed to do. But Lord, he said, Lord, what's John going to do? You got that for me. What's he going to do? I want to know what his job is. What's he going to do? What kind of is it? Maybe he was more innocent than that. But the principle's the same. Don't lose your focus on living for the Lord. Don't lose your focus on your... Because here's the reality. God wants you and I in the conflicts to fight sin. Understand? He wants us to fight sin, not humans. He don't want us to get mixed up in the battle of it. He wants us to fight sin in our own hearts. He wants wants to fight us to fight our attitudes in the conflict. He wants us to get victory over ourselves in the middle of it. He don't want us to have to look and say about this or blame or this or this one ain't doing that. He wants us to win the battle in our own hearts and lives. He wants us to conquer the sinful nature, the carnal nature. He wants us to overcome those kind of feelings and things that happen because of the other humanity. Someone may growl at you at Walmart. You growl back and you lose the battle. Well, I'm going to win the battle because I'm going to show him. No, you're going to lose the battle if you growl back. Don't growl back. If you're going to win the battle, fight sin. Fight sin. It's sin. Well, so I can't fight your sin. You fight it. I'm fighting mine. I'm fighting the things that try to bring sin to my life. Try to bring the unspiritualness in my life. I got to fight that. It ain't about somebody else. I say this. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. I think I can say I know of people that I believe God would have had more for them in their life. And my heart towards them is I hope they find every bit of it. You know, I'm not saying that there isn't those kind of thoughts, but I never have understood really very well covetousness or jealousy anyway. Because your gaining has never hurt me, ever. Yeah, I honestly can say that I could say of all of God's people and people everywhere, Lord, bless them good. Let their hands prosper and let money flow like water. Let them have, you give them what's good for them, bless for them. I don't see how you having a bigger house or a finer thing affects my life at all. It only doesn't unless I let the devil beat me in my conflicts. If I look at it reality, I will say, bless them good, Lord. Bless them good and bring prosperity to them in their lives. And it can only help me. It can only be a benefit. If nothing else, the Lord won't ever call unto me to bail you out of something. Well, it happens. I've had the Lord have to call on me to bail out people to help them for this or that. But before, and if they'd have been blessed real good, I wouldn't have done it. So it help me if nothing more in that. But what's he going to do? Listen to what the Lord said. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come. This is a question. What is that to thee? If I just have him sitting around twiddling his fingers with his knees crossed and a drink in his hand, what does that have to do with you? If I just, like, no matter what, what's that got to do with you? Nothing. Nothing. Don't let it affect you, Peter. I give you a commission. Go do it. And when you've got to walk in the Spirit, carnality will suggest a lot of things to you. You got to walk in the Spirit. I want to look at another passage. Mark 10. In the 37th, let's go to 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we desire. I say that was good. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I am drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand, or on my left hand, is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. I think they all was a mess. Two of them says, I can only assume, but let's, if we, I know how it is with my family. If they ask, if they're the first one to ask, I have a little bit more right to something than this. So they got to hurry and say it real quick. When you got a lot of children, you know that that's true. It's like, Daddy, can I go with you? It's or Daddy, can I sit up there? Or whatever it is. Can I sit at the door? Well, I ask first. Those kind of, no, I'll let the older one. No, I ask first. I ask first. Gives you a little bit. If we ask to sit there first, maybe if we're the first ones, it'll show that we'll get there first. Or possibly it wasn't just that, because at least it wasn't perceived that way, because the other ones got upset. Now, they would have been upset if they just thought it was first to ask. They thought they were better. They thought they were more qualified. They thought that they should be there. And the 10 looks at the 2 and says, you ain't any better than I am. What makes you think you're better than I am? I'm just as good as you are. As a matter of fact, I'm his favorite. I'm the best one. I got more. You know how it's been. I've been the one toting the load around here. Or the other one says, well, anytime the Lord's not here, I'm the one that takes the lead. Or anytime that the Lord's off there, you know what people's always coming to me to ask. They asked me before they asked you. Well, what about the last time? This one asked me and didn't ask you. Well, there's a squabble about it, there's a fight about it. Why don't you walk in the Spirit? Why don't you walk in the Spirit instead of the flesh? Because the flesh is just going to stir all that up. Yeah. It's just going to stir it up. So walk in the Spirit and have the realization of what it's really about. It's not about who's the grandest or who's the greatest of all that. The Lord sets it squarely about that. He said, you want to be great? You want to be great? I will tell you what the great one does. You want to deny the great one? I'm the great one. I come from heaven. I'm going to be crucified. You want to go there? I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die that kind of a death. You want to go there? You want to be greatest? I'll tell you how you be greatest. Humble yourself down and become a minister. The world's got it wrong. Religious people's got it wrong. Carnality's got it wrong. The flesh has got it wrong. Spirituality is walking in the flesh and humbling yourself down and being a servant to all. Being in a place that God can use you no matter what it is. Be challenged not to walk in the flesh. The flesh will stir more trouble for trouble. It'll add to it. I was really impressed. A couple days ago, we got to go to the George Washington Carver Museum up in Diamond, Missouri. And if you've never been there, I'd recommend it. It was inspiring. You know what was most inspiring about it? He fought the odds. Not little odds. The man fought incredible prejudice. He fought incredible times. He did it with God on his side. God blessed him. And where almost nobody could have had a good spirit. He did. God blessed him that he was able to go through terrible, terrible things and rose above it every time to a higher way. Would not allow it to be done with a new spirit. They had a documentary about him. And one of the things that was very impressive, they said even he was called on after much research and he was looked at, and many people admired him for his disposition. A great one person said, a man of a great mind with the spirit, the humble spirit of Christ. And they called on him to go. He's going to give a lecture or a talk to the I believe it was the Senate. And he went there. They depicted it, of course. But he's there and he's talking. He's telling them about his information. And they couldn't resist throwing in a few racial slurs at him. It didn't deter him. By the time he got through, they all sat there and with awe of that, of what a great, of the way the man presented it and the blessing that he had. And then they had to acknowledge. They had to acknowledge right there in his presence of how outstanding it was. But you know what he done? I can't know of the failures in his life. I can't know it. But it was inspiring because he seemed intent on getting up every morning, getting up and going, being with the Lord. Every day he was intent on that. He was going to go spend time in the woods in prayer. He was going to spend. He gave the time and God gave it back to him. He walked in the Spirit and nobody was big enough to take it from him. And it was, folks, listen. He overcome by walking in the Spirit. Bitterness could arose. All those hatreds could have arose. By the help of the Lord, he walked in the Spirit anyway and overcome those kind of things. Until for a black man, other than presidents, which was both Washington and Lincoln, for a black man that was born a slave, had the first national monument made to him, a park. Wasn't because he walked in the flesh. It was because he walked in the Spirit. And he was able to overcome it. And I said to that, when I saw that, I said, if he can do that, then I should be able to come to little triflings that affect my life. You can do it. I can do it. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be overly intelligent. You don't have to be strong fortitude. All you have to do is surrender to God and walk in the Spirit. God takes care of what you can't take care of. And He'll do that for us and He'll do it for you. And if you get beat out of money, it's only money. And our Father has a cattle on 1,000 hills. And it's all God's and He can give it to you and He will give it to you. And I can promise you that God will bless you in your life for everything that you do for Him in His name. Oh, you can overcome all of those kind of things. You may think, well, I'm letting him run over you. Now, I like this statement because I've had people say that to me in counsel. Well, what am I supposed to do? Let him run me over? You mean like the Jews did to Jesus? Is that, I mean, if that's the question, how am I supposed to answer that for you? Am I supposed to let him run me over? You mean like Jesus let him run him over? I mean, if you don't want to be like Jesus, I would assume that you wouldn't do that. But you want to hit the high marks of living like Jesus lived? When it comes time for the running over, you pray, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm not saying this is always easy, but by God's grace, the incredible can happen. The monumentous can happen. The things that's beyond you and your ability can happen. And you can live that kind of way. People's going to slur. People's going to talk. People's going to badmouth. I've had it happen all the time. People don't like me simply because of me. They don't like things about just because of me. It happens that way. Worked on a job that every new guy that come on the job was like a new proving time. It used to be a challenge. I got really weary. I'll be honest, I got weary. Every new guy that liked to come and curse and swear and make the badge and all that kind of stuff and come and look at me as just another religious guy. No, he did, and he done that, and he probably cusses and swears too, and he said that. It took me time, but every one of them, down to the very ones that stayed long enough, ended up gaining respect because of the Lord. And they would even get to the point that they would testify for me. And I didn't have to say anything. And one guy said to me one day, he said something about, telling a lie. And I said, nope, I don't believe in that. He said, everybody lies. I said, no, everybody don't lie. And he said, yes, they do. You can't tell me people, you tell little white lies. And I said, after I got through telling him about what Jesus was and how he was that, there was some days later, somebody said, I said something and they said, I don't believe that. And that guy said, if Marty said it, you can believe it. He don't lie. And I thought when he said that, Lord, I'm responsible. Lord, I'm responsible. He's watched me walk. I could destroy this. Help me by your grace to walk the way you'd want me to. In the times that came, help me walk in the Spirit. Help me not to do that. One time they was a Well, I really thought the boss was out of line. I'll be honest with you. I thought the boss was out of line and the guys was really going over and doing that and they was getting ugly about it and this and that. And they ended up asking me about it. And I said, I'll tell you this. I don't allow man to have control over me. If he causes me to have a bad attitude and flare up like you, he would be controlling me. And I want the Lord to control me and I don't allow that to control me. I want to have a good attitude about it. And they was just, can you do that? By the Lord's help, you can. You know, another time the men were all upset because they opened their envelopes at Christmas time. They got a bonus. Everybody got $50. The year before, we had all got like $350. This year, there was $50. And they was saying, 50? You're kidding me. $50? The one guy says, $50? Said, why didn't he just keep it? And I said, I want to get y'all's attention. Anyone that don't want their $50, you can give it to me. I'll be glad to take it. But I listened to that a little bit, so I went into the office, sat down with the boss, looked over at him and said, just wanted to thank you for the Christmas bonuses you're giving. I appreciate it. And he said, last year we had a big surplus. He said, this year there was $350 in the account. 7 employees, you guys do the math. He gave it all. They missed it. They missed it. Yes. They got something greater. They got something greater to me. He gave me something greater than he gave them. Because I was thinking of the widow woman, the time that she threw in her 2 mites. And I thought, if he'd have kept that money all for himself, he'd have had $350, our bonus last year, he could have done it. But he gave us something more than a $50 in an envelope. He gave us what he had. And that spoke more to me than the rest. And they missed it all because to their lives consisted of the abundance of the things that they possessed. Because it's more to have $50 than to have human dignity and respect. Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit. We make judgments on things we don't even know about. Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit. This is the answer that the apostle gave for the biting and devouring. Don't bite and devour. Walk in the Spirit. And you'll see plainly. You'll see plainly. You'll see clearly. And you'll be blessed. And you'll be happy. And you'll be fulfilled. You pray for me.